we will begin with the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Lord, as we gather today at this meeting, we ask that you help us to make decisions that will be pleasing to you. Help us to be able to discuss the matters at hand in a reasonable way and to be willing to give up having our own way. God, let this meeting be productive, and as should be the case in all areas of our lives, help us to keep you at the forefront of our minds as we do the work set before us. Amen. Please face the flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Prouty, do we have any public comment? If not, we can move on to the next agenda item, which is the President's Report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'd like to point out before you, you have our annual report and our fast facts for 2021, hot off the press, intended to provide you with some information so when you're out there being wonderful ambassadors for the State College of Florida, you have information at your fingertips. If you would like more of either one of these, we have plenty of copies, so just let us know. We'll make sure that you have them, and you can. These are nice little things to pass out and give to people when you're talking about the State College of Florida. Also, wanted to let you know, you probably saw some of the press that we did receive when the governor awarded us $900,000 to expand our CDL driver program in partnership with Fleet Force. So we'll be expanding it down to our Venice campus. We're really thrilled with that, and what we heard from the chancellor for the workforce system was that the State College of Florida is certainly checking every box when it comes to doing our part to support workforce in Florida. So that's really nice to be on the governor's radar for that. In addition, when we talk about workforce, you might remember last month you approved a grant that we received for the Open Door program. It was a special set of money set aside by the governor for colleges to develop programs for workforce, different workforce opportunities. So Dr. Fritsch and his team with Terry Clark and Daish Bagley were able to put together a program that was wonderfully well received. Not only was it very well received, but we were one of the only colleges that, as the chancellor said, were able to break the code and figure out how to do that and do that very well. So in addition to the amount that you approved last month was roughly $450,000, we got another about $300,000 for doing such a great job and being able to expand that program. So I asked Dr. Fritsch if you could just remind us a little bit about what we might be doing with that Open Door grant.
And this is the benefit of having a coding academy, by the way, so we can break the code. So I'm just reading from the DOE website. The Open Door grant program provides funds to support student completion of short-term, high-demand credit and non-credit career technical education programs funded both at career centers and Florida college system institutions. The idea is really to not only create but sustain a pipeline of workforce in all of these high-demand career areas. So Daish and Terry did a great job over a couple of days creating six pages of narrative that helped us partner with the Flatiron School to train coders for full stack development, and it's an increasingly demanding career field that pays extraordinary wages, and so we've been able to leverage those funds to do that and build from that to continue to deliver our coding academy activities.
Right. Thank you, Dr. Fritsch. Also wanted to let you know you did receive with your packet the midterm report of where we stand with the goals. This is just the midterm report. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer. As you can see, we're kind of ahead of the game on some of them. We have a little bit more work to do on some of the other, but about where we thought we might be at this point in time. And then the last thing, I'm going to steal a little bit of Chris Wellman's thunder and say that this week, I think, is the 9th anniversary of his time with us at the State College of Florida. So, that ends my report, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I do want to just comment on the workforce programs that we're doing, and Fleet Force is actually, they've received national attention because obviously the shortage of truck drivers, and I'm just really pleased to see that we're on the front lines of this. I think it's just a great credit to the entire team here. So thank you. All right, meet the mission. We have our outstanding foundation.
This is Nathan Reed. I'm very excited to introduce him to you, and I'll let Nathan take it from here.
This is good. All right. I'm good now. Good evening, everyone. My name is Nathan Reed, and I speak before you today as a current State College of Florida student. It is an honor today to speak in front of SCF President Dr. Carol Grossfeld, trustees, alumni, and foundation contributors. The SCF Foundation has asked me here today to share some of my personal story and give you all a glimpse into the life of a current student and how financial aid has impacted me personally. I'm a music major here at SCF, and it is very easy for me to display my gratitude for what financial aid has done for me. I was raised in a small town in southeast Tennessee, around 45 minutes south of Knoxville. Shortly after I turned 5, my father passed away unexpectedly at the age of 38 with heart disease, leaving a single mother having to raise a young boy while facing an economy that was about to enter recession. Growing up, we would often utilize food pantries and other charitable organizations just that we could survive. My town did not seem to offer much opportunity, and I was getting older. We wanted to ensure that my future was filled with bright opportunities. So we moved to Sarasota at the beginning of my 7th grade year. With no prior music experience or any musical ability, ironically, I was accidentally placed into a band class at Sarasota Middle School. This is where I met the love of my life, the tuba. I quickly began to excel musically, and it felt like I had truly found my passion in my future career. After being in band all throughout middle school and high school, I decided to major in music education and become a band director. One of my friends from high school attended SCF and was a music major, and through him I began to learn more about SCF and all the programs that they had to offer. As I looked at colleges my senior year, it soon became evident to me that with my mom and I's financial situation, that the State College of Florida was a no-brainer. I had heard nothing but great things about the school. However, I was still worried to how I was going to pay for my school, even with the cheaper cost. In 2020, the world was taken by storm with the global pandemic that is COVID-19. I had to begin working full-time at Publix while finishing my senior year online, just so my mom and I could survive. Not only was I worried financially about starting college, but I was scared of the education that I would be getting in the middle of a global pandemic, and if it was going to be able to set me up for my future success. I started my first semester at SCF in the fall of 2020, and I was met with open arms and financial support I didn't even know existed. I applied for and received numerous foundation scholarships, and I am proud to say that it is now my final semester here at SCF, and I have never had to pay a single dollar for my education. Also, I have received an abundance of scholarship money through the music program, where I serve as a music theory tutor, head usher, and performer. Without this financial aid, it would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, for me to attend college and pursue my dreams. Last month, I spent a total of 15 nights in Sarasota Memorial Hospital and was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. While it is still very new in my life and something I am learning to manage, money I've been able to save through SCF aid aided me in taking care of copays, medicines, and any other costs during my stay. Today you are hearing my story, but all students have different stories and go through their own struggles, as I'm sure everyone in this room has undergone at some point. The biggest lesson I learned while I was in the hospital is that everyone at some point in their life needs help, and the financial aid that SCF has given me I will cherish for the rest of my adult life. Help does not only come in the form of scholarships for individual students, but it also comes in the form of capital building projects, such as the new Performing Arts Center across the courtyard. I am not exaggerating when I say I spend at least 50 hours a week in that building right across the courtyard. Not only are all of my classes as a music major in that building, but I also have several performances, rehearsals, and tutoring sessions there. I live in that building. As a musician, I've been fortunate enough with my financial aid to travel and visit events and festivals at universities across the state and the country. Our facilities here, as I was talking with some of you before we began today, is one of the best fine arts buildings I have ever been in. That I have ever seen. It is so clean, the atmosphere is so welcoming, and it is truly, I've seen the building at FSU, at UF. I've seen buildings in Atlanta, just all over. And it is just one of the cleanest environments that I've seen. It's amazing. So I'm very proud to say that I live in that building. And to me, it truly is my second home. In that building, I have built friendships, relationships, and amazing colleagues. I would like to speak on the music staff here at SCF, as their contributions serve as a masterclass in pedagogy and guidance. I first properly met Professor Dr. Robin Bell, Director of Instrumental Studies here at SCF, when I was 18. However, she has been with me my whole musical journey since the seventh grade. Dr. Bell would occasionally come into my middle school and high school band classes to work with our groups, and she is truly respected as one of the best band directors in the entire state. Many grade school directors reach out to her on a regular basis to come work and adjudicate their groups, even if it's just for an hour-long rehearsal, so that the directors and students can learn from her. I did not truly begin to appreciate and comprehend Dr. Bell's ability until I became her student and saw all the things that she can do in 1 week. The lessons she has taught me go outside of the classroom. Not only have I grown musically under her leadership, but I've also gained skills regarding networking, public speaking, like right now, and financial stability. She has given me opportunities that I would never have received at a four-year university, including guest conducting the Bradenton Symphony Orchestra, the Pops Orchestra of Sarasota and Bradenton, and the State College of Florida Wind Ensemble. Dr. Bell is just one example of the truly world-class music staff SCF has to offer. The entire SCF staff, whether inside or outside of the program, has been amazing, especially in the middle of a global pandemic. SCF was one of the only places to open its libraries to students so they could access Wi-Fi while the pandemic was happening and everything was moved online. And under 1 week, the entire teaching staff moved all of their classes to be strictly online. This is an extreme undertaking that could not have been achieved unless every single teacher wanted to be here and loved what they did. For that, I am truly grateful. As for my future, I plan to attend the University of Florida starting in the fall of 2022, where I will finish and earn my bachelor's degree in music education. I then plan to start their master's program in instrumental conducting. I aspire to be a high school and then eventually college band director, where I can inspire students and provide them a welcoming environment through the outlet of music, just like the one that was offered to me when I moved here from Tennessee. Music education is so much more than music to me, and to me, I cannot make that happen without the support from the SCF Foundation, capital building projects such as the new studio for the performing arts, and amazing staff. Thank all. Thank you.
Yes. So last year you won the first tuba for the entire state and
yes,
player.
First, all brass, not just tuba.
All brass. All right. Outstanding. But you're competing again this year, so you can't win the same category twice.
I'm not competing. I'm not allowed to compete since I won already. But today I did find out that I was awarded the Student of the Month for the Florida College System Activities Association. I think that's it. Florida. Yeah. The SCSAA. Yeah. I was awarded Student of the Month for that, for the whole state, for the month of January. So I just
We're very proud. You know, I like to be number one, so thank you.
We have a concert coming up in the music program. If you guys want to go to that, I think it's on the presentation.
March 3rd.
It's called Lift Every Voice and Soul. What's it called?
Oh, that's to have and to hold.
Dr. Bell's here, by the way.
We have two concerts coming up. The one, you're performing in both. The one with the band and the choir is Lift Every Voice and Sing. It's in celebration of Black History Month. And we have black composers, we have black soloists, we have an African drumming and dance troupe going to be with us doing a whole big presentation. It's fantastic, and the band and the choir will combine for a big piece. And then the concert Ms. Holmes is talking about is the Bradenton Symphony Orchestra, To Have and To Hold on March 3rd. We're basically playing all of the ceremonial music you would hear at a wedding, but like in like a real piece of music. So here comes the bride, and any song you can think of in a wedding, we're playing it as a concert.
arranged another piece too for that concert that we're going to do there, so that's going to be premiered on that concert as well.
Excellent.
Yeah. Right. Super excited. All right, thank you, guys.
Dealings in the have, we are, we look at making sure we cover South County. You know, our area is a large area, and so we need board members to represent South County. We'll need some for the parish community when we're trying to move into there and get services, get educational opportunities available in parish in the future. Bradenton, downtown Sarasota, everywhere. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of information about me and the foundation board. Any questions?
State College of Florida Foundation, and it is a pleasure to be with you this evening. As you can see, I have several new team members. I have their name on this diagram because many of you in the community are asking me who's on first, second, and third base, and this really gives you that eyes view. I do have one of my team members here with me this evening that I would like to point out. Debbie Green, CPA, is our new senior finance manager of the foundation, and we're very happy that she's here and onboarded with our team. As you've seen in the board packet, I have a few highlights that happened from last year. This is on the 990 IRS form, so this would be the fiscal year 2020 to 2021. Our fiscal year ends on September the 30th. Here you can see our investments are under management. We use SEI Investment Company, is $77 million. Our total assets are $81 million. That includes our perpetual trust and charitable trust, as well as cash. Here you'll see in the past fiscal year that scholarships distributed was $1.6 million to approximately 1,200 deserving students like Nathan that you saw today. $3.8 million was distributed to the college for capital projects, primarily the Studio for the Performing Arts that he talked so affectionately about, which is a great pride point for our institution. And a special note that I want you to highlight is there were no in-person events in the fiscal year 2020-21. So you do see a little bit of decline, or I should say a lot of decline, in unrestricted earned fundraising revenue. And so we'll be looking at what we did in the year. And then also a point of pride is our community came to the needs of our students before federal funding was available for the tune of $60,000 to help students like Nathan stay in college. So our dashboard really kind of highlights three distinct revenue streams. One is individuals. The second one is foundations. That would be your private and family foundations. And then, of course, we have corporations, businesses, and organizations. If you look at the first column, which was our fiscal year target, our earned fundraising revenue target was $2.5 million. We did significantly exceed that. We did have one very large major gift come in, and then we did have a charitable remainder trust. And so our total fundraising for last year's fiscal year was $4.8 million, and this does not include any in-kind support. One of the things we talk about at the foundation is being a doer, donor, and door opener. And one of those most critical and most challenging things is being the door opener. If you could help us with that, many of you around this table are already doing that. Many of you are very philanthropically inclined to help this college, our programs, our students, their equipment needs, and capital projects. And for that, we are benefiting as a local community. Participate in annual support of the foundation. We are very proud that Trustee Knight and Dorothy helped Dr. Probstfeld and I during the Selby Foundation presentation, where we were able to talk about the percentage of participation of both boards, and that is a huge point of pride for private and family foundations, understanding if they're giving, then I should too. And hosting scholarship readings, that's where you could do that simply from the comfort of your home. You can do that online, or we'll be happy to help you facilitate that on campus. Again, word of mouth advertising is golden. You out in the community, maybe there's a community group that you would like Dr. Probstfeld to speak in front of, or myself. We are always happy to do that and share the mission of the foundation and college. And then, of course, cultivating your spheres of influence are very beneficial to fundraising. Some of you have asked, and a lot of people on my board are, who do we collaborate and what volunteer opportunities are there? Because, you know, collaboration is very much the key to a lot of nonprofits' success. This foundation collaborates with over 110 community organizations and nonprofits. We also have over 200 volunteers at SCF at our fundraising events, reading scholarships online, and also helping us with special projects. Partnering with our area private and family foundations, getting invitations to apply is mission critical. A lot of your private and family foundations are invitation only. And many people on my board, as well as people around this table, help facilitate those invitations. And then, of course, responding to community initiatives. All of our fundraising goals and objectives are aligned with the college's strategic priorities. And that's something my board is very passionate about. And we do depend on Trustee Fuller and Dr. Probstfeld to have discussions with us and to do that type of sharing. Next up, you may say, well, what capital project do you have on your target these days? Well, the one that we're really passionate about at the foundation, that's our number one capital project, is $500,000 worth of equipment for the Venice Science and Auditorium. And some people have questioned, why would a classroom be so expensive? Well, if we kind of look at the scientific equipment that's required for college-level courses so that our students will be prepared, you can see some of those pieces of equipment on this slide. Equipment that we'll need for the auditorium is computer technology. We need to be able to be ready to hit that with a virtual view, as well as making sure that our students feel safe and have the technology available in the classroom for their learning. This would be used by our Venice Collegiate School, our science students, our nursing students, our UF, SCF, Gator Engineering students, and all our STEM-focused students on our Venice campus. So overall, some of our fundraising initiatives that the foundation is targeting for the year 2022, of course, is targeting an increase in area of greatest need fundraising, also known as unrestricted fundraising. We are back in business with in-person events, and we certainly hope all of you come to our Avenues to the Future on February the 19th. Secondly, we are very focused in fundraising for our SCF Nursing and Excellence Program, which is highlighting instructional support. We have student scholarships, which were always near and dear to our donors' hearts, and then as well as planned giving awareness and bequests, and our menu of capital options, and of course, equipment needs, and then, you know, following our donors' passions. They are passionate about helping State College of Florida, and our case to support is strong. Our students' needs, our capital needs, and our equipment needs and instructional support are strong cases to support. So I know each one of you are empowered with certain materials today. You'll see more information about our strategic priorities. And from this, I would like to put my cell phone and email. I typically accept all texts. I love texting, and as you know, if you have a great fundraising idea, I'd love to learn about it. So if you have any questions for me.
I'm going to ask the Mike Fuller question. $81 million, how does that rank amongst the other 28, 27
state colleges? We're sixth out of 28 state and community colleges. So we are significant when we look. Now, please note that most of our investments are restricted based upon our donors' wishes. And many of them are
Chris, no ideas. That's what she's trying to say.
Yeah.
Spending.
So some of those things, that's why we're so passionate on the board of directors with raising the unrestricted or, you know, greatest need revenue, because that gives the board a lot of flexibility to address emerging needs immediately so we can really tackle big projects.
And if I might add, it's really, we're probably really higher than number six because some of it's not a fair playing field, because correct me if I'm wrong, but like down in Miami-Dade, they have housing included in there.
Yes, some of our state and community colleges actually invest in real estate. We do not have a real estate in our portfolio. So, and that would be local real estate and, you know, neighborhoods, strip malls, you know, things like that. Okay. Thank you for this opportunity to share.
Thank you for
sharing. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well done.
Great. Moving on to the non-financial consent agenda. Any questions or comments on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. On to financial consent agenda. Anything that anyone would like to remove, discuss, ask about? Anybody? Very thorough. All right, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Move approval.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Financial consent agenda passes or is approved. And on to our favorite part, the facilities discussion. Never.
So yeah, it was nine years ago, Dr. P hired me, and I did not have the ounce of brain head. Fundamentally using two architectural firms, probably half a dozen engineering consultants, and you know we're using our four construction managers and dozens of subcontractors to pull off the amount of work. This year, that $10 million worth of projects, all of those projects have some critical schedule tied to it. It's not a date that we made up. So all of our carriers projects, we have $5.5 million worth. It has to be expensed by December 31st of this year. And we think about when we found out about the money, the design, where we need to get to, we're at a sprinter's pace on that front. With the Dennis Collegiate School, we got to get it done in the summer, open by fall semester. Dental hygiene remodel has to happen in the summer, be open by fall semester. include the roof cover, which is key to be practicing by fall. And then finally, our fire sprinkler, the Neil Auditorium, that is a June through, I guess, September, to get that done. So a whole lot pushing forward. Unfortunately, never in the history of construction has construction pricing been so volatile. Those are the absolute experts who have the most confidence in estimating costs. I see insecurities and hesitation just because we don't know where price is headed. Shortage of labor, we all know that. And then this incredible supply chain issue, the lead time on material and equipment is just crazy, right? So it's having a huge impact on just maintaining project schedules, project budgets, attracting subcontract participation. These are just the challenges of where we're at right now in this industry. So we're kind of a duck on the water. We're found that our feet's kicking hard, right, to get there. We have some significant efforts going on.
Can you remind us what happens with the CARES money if we don't hit our targets?
I don't know.
We hope you'll extend the deadline. That's our hope and glory for the end of January. But we don't know.
I mean, you could see a scenario where you're three quarters of the way into a project, but we don't hit the deadline.
So we're in good shape. So the things that we've outlined up for just in time to talk to you, February, March, we're going to get everything going, equipment order. The lead times that we're seeing on most of that mechanical systems equipment, we're on track. And it's not just a summer effort, it's a summer fall. So just paint the picture, but we're in good shape on affairs right now. Four things that are important that we've got going right now is, as we're going through all the design work, is making sure we have control of our scope of work. We're working as hard as we can as we're proceeding with design to understand cost implications. And as you know, we're identifying as quick as we can the long lead items, trying to do early release to get those into production. And then finally, this is more under the construction managers. A major amount of effort to attract subcontractors, so we're getting competitive pricing at the subcontractor level. So, with that said, I've got two items tonight. I've got five projects in February I'll be bringing to you, and then I've got five projects in March. So I've got a whole lot that I'm bringing forward to. But we're on track, just pushing on down the path. So the first project tonight is the dental hygiene upgrade, some additional equipment that we're looking to early release. That's page 100 of your board packet. And then the Venice Creek School early release on the aluminum decking and ramps. That's page 101. So dental hygiene upgrade. So at the December board, you approved the early release of the dental hygiene equipment for 13 existing stations that had a 5 month lead time on it. We cut this release. That's funded by FERC. Since that time, the program managers got together, decided they want to improve community access. So we're looking to put three additional dental hygiene stations into the space, and that's going to increase capacity. We're pursuing HERB approval for both the equipment and the related facility modifications that got to take place. If we don't get the HERB, we do have adequate fund balance to cover it. We're somewhere in the neighborhood of $200,000 for both the equipment and the facility modifications. So just as a reminder, with construction, their overall construction contract, their guaranteed maximum price. I'll be bringing to the March board for approval. That's going to include the cost of the facility mod for the 13 existing stations plus the three new stations. So for these three new stations, we advertised, we got competitive bids. You can see from the bid tabulation, Patterson Dental came in at $94,157.70 and requested
favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Project approved.
The second project is the demonstrated school. So the board approved this project. Basically, we're moving five classroom modules plus the restroom from the Bradenton campus to the Dennis campus and all the infrastructure that's required to support that move. We're using auxiliary funds. The auxiliary fund will be reimbursed by the Dennis Cleveland School revenues as it's generated. As a reminder, that's Willis Smith as the construction manager and the DMP guaranteed maximum price for the construction contract will be brought to the February board. Again, we're racing a summer installation to be ready for the fall. So what came out of the design is D1, the item that has the long street line with that aluminum ramp and decking. We're trying to cut that loose. In fact, if it gets approved tonight, we have the PO cut tomorrow, as it holds. I mean, it's that kind of crazy environment right now. We'll secure the vendor and get it ordered and have it here in time for the summer installation. So for the aluminum deck and ramps, again, we produced good documents, we advertised, got competitive bids, and R.E. Johnson came in low at $141,000. Before you approve that, we got through design development, we got the cost estimate, it came in at $1.269 million. We had $900,000 at our budget, we set that last year. We got into engineering, we thought we were going to be able to pull electrical service from 800, didn't have the capacity, so we're going to pull FPNL in for our new service. That was one kicker. So these five modular classrooms are really 10 trailers, plus the bathrooms, 11 trailers. They've got all your electrical conductors and your fiber optics and your data all intertwined, which we thought we'd be able to reuse. As those get disassembled and reassembled, unfortunately, we're going to have to install more new than reuse old. So that was an unexpected. And then last but not least, as I've been talking about, just the overall cost of construction is probably the biggest hitter on us. You know, set that $900,000 budget last year is where we're at. So at the end of the day, next month I plan to come back to you. One, ask for a budget increase. This is DB estimate. Will Smith is actually going to be advertising and getting competitive pricing, so that's what contract will bring to you for approval, but that will also be the amount of budget increase that I'll be requesting. We do have adequate monthly living funds to cover the budget increase. If you're comfortable with that, I'm seeking approval of contract with R.E. Johnson for $141.50 and get the debt covered.
So I have a question. So Chris, aren't we really, if we're spending ahead, aren't we really approving the budget tonight as well? I mean, we're spending ahead on this budget, so we're moving forward.
In essence, yeah.
So the same thing occurred to me. I mean, it seems like we'd want to approve the budget increase before approving individual expenditures. So I'd love to maybe hear, when you say adequate auxiliary, just a little bit more about that.
If I might, Trustee Knight, our current auxiliary fund balance is $7.158 million. We are being very conservative with it because that money is generated from services such as food service, bookstore revenues. And as you can imagine, those revenues are down. But there is certainly adequate funds there to fund this project.
Do you think Willis Smith will be at the 1269 or below it? You think it's going to be more?
No, it won't be more. I'm comfortable during the 1269. Hopefully the DMP is less than that. Less than what we're thinking and the overall budget won't really be where it's at. If you approve the decking and then I brought the budget next month and you just approve that budget, it would become a game of value engineering and you pay out from that decking and other things is the reaction we end up having. The FPNL cost, Will Smith had the cost for the conductor set the path for the transfer. do a calculation and say based on usage, actually we'll get our payback with a zero based on our usage. We don't have to buy their equipment, which is the transformer and conductor. That's actually going to come into play. I feel pretty confident that we'll be where we're at on that.
I think I'm more concerned about the big picture of the budget overruns, you know, not just this particular instance, but I'm wondering if maybe next board meeting we could look at that big picture, look at these 10 projects, 10 other projects that are coming up, what we've budgeted, if any of them are already over budget. I mean, I think, like Julie said, we need to be really careful with our auxiliary because we could spend that down in heartbeat with all these capital projects. So is that something that we can kind of take a look at in totality?
Yeah, so we're getting a lot of our carriers 50% behind numbers on Friday. Absolutely. So what's going to help a little bit on the care side of it, or preliminary costs for mechanical systems are coming in high, is that we have a kind of an a la carte set up there. So instead of replacing 1,500 manual feet of underground hot water line, we'll replace 1,000 and that's monies we didn't expect to have that's going to benefit us so we can reduce a little bit of scope to keep us within budget on that front. I don't have numbers in on the science building yet, but we've about landed on the footprint of the science department. We're about going to be 8,900 square feet, we're about 8,400 square feet. So, you know, we need the program, reduce the square footage, to control that project size. So I'm feeling confident there. So, but afterward, you guys have to get that list and update the cost on it. You have to do it.
Tracy, you can be, should be concerned. We all should be concerned. But I'm telling you, it's an extremely fluid environment we're living in. I just came from a construction meeting, and they were experiencing 200% increases in materials, more in the chain. These are things that we're having to live with in the construction industry, if they can even get the material at 200% increase. So you can make all kind of predictions, but until you actually can put some shovels in the dirt and get some signed contracts, there's just no telling. I'm very concerned about the Venice project because, as I related to you when we passed it the first time, we were on an extremely tight budget to get that square footage as it was. And now it's intensified, if you will, the environment in which these guys are trying to work. And until you get working drawings that can go out to hard bids, you just don't know. And those hard bids are going to come back, and I'm going to tell you right now, you need to think about this. Those hard bids are going to come back with 1 week, 10 days of acceptance. That's it, because if you don't, they're going to go up in price. So you're going to have to adjust to that. You're not going to have any time after these bids come in to make decisions. So you better start thinking about it. I've been through this before in the late 90s when we had inflation at, 18%, and we were having bids for 24 hours, take them or leave them. And you can't even get the wire you need in my industry. Right now, whether you've got the money or not doesn't make a difference until you get it. PVC is now selling for the same price as hard concrete. I mean, these are massive changes. Now, will it come back around? Yes. But whether it'll come back around in our time frame, that's doubtful. So just a guess, but it's just going to be a guess.
That's right on the point of what I think, too, your concern is, and certainly mine is, with this, is I need a bigger picture understanding, because Julie, when you say there's 7.7 million in the auxiliary fund and this is an extra 369,000, that on the surface seems like, well, that's no problem. I have no idea what that fund should be. I have no idea if there's a rule of thumb percentage or whatever in a normal time of supplying, train, working, and funding. And I'm just concerned that I want to make sure that we are super cautious on our project, and if we need to delay some, we should probably be thinking about which ones we prioritize doing and which ones we deprioritize that we could delay if it comes to that. Just because there's obviously tremendous uncertainty in pricing here.
So, those 25 projects, we're doing design on all of them. We're going after all of them this year. So we sat and went through and said, here's the ones, here's the twos.
next fiscal year or next calendar year?
Well, it's, we've got all kinds of flexibility on when we pull the trigger on it. And the hope is to get to the end of the calendar year and we start to see it decline in cost.
Are these monies available from day one to spend if we are accepted? The reason I say that, when these companies come back to you and give you a window of X amount of time to sign with, when they sign, they have to purchase that. They're going to purchase those materials right then and there. And you're going to get an invoice the next 30-day period. And you're going to have to discuss this with your primary contractor because they're going to, somebody's going to want that money. That's going to put in, that material's going to be put in storage because they have to buy it at that moment in time. And it could be a, if we don't have the funds available, I'm sure we do, but if we don't, we could be in Dr. Strait.
Yeah, trustee, this is, as we're going through design, working with these four stands, we're looking at what materials are being specified, reaching out to a manufacturer, which manufacturer will live up and can we go 60 days. We're not picking those high risk material suppliers, equipment suppliers that are out there. Those that we have no other option, you approve the pre-engineered metal building, we cut that lease. The dental hygiene equipment that was 5 months out, we identified that, we cut that lease. It's decking. Those are the items we just couldn't get away from. Everything else we're being very strategic on because these four CNs do not want to fail SEF. And they're not going to sign up for failure. So it's the beautiful thing about having them at the table as we're going through design and being as smart as we can. It's certainly not bulletproof, but it's the best we can do to manage the risk in this environment.
I just think you have a responsibility as a board to understand what projects have been prioritized and why, because there might be some things that we feel like we can delay or live without for a while. I mean, our college has been updated. I mean, in the years that I've been a trustee, it's just been constant construction, and we have these beautiful buildings and performing art facilities and but sometimes you go through years where you just can't be doing it all. So I just think it's good for us. Maybe even if you could send us something in advance of the next board meeting so we can familiarize ourselves with it and have a bigger discussion about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would second that. Specifically regarding that, the list, the 16 projects, the 8 projects that you prioritize and deprioritize because you have which ones to delay. It'd be nice to see what that list was, that order, and you know, just a sentence or two on why, to help give us some context. And then from Julia or staff, maybe that $7 million auxiliary fund. Again, I am clueless as to any context for what that fantastic, that we are set for great, you know, or if we don't want to get that down very much further. I just don't know, and so perhaps a 30,000-foot view on that would be helpful at the same time.
So those projects that I listed at the beginning, the batting cage, the dental hygiene, those plus the care, plus the science building is this year's project. Everything else I pushed, but I'll be happy to share that.
I'm not completely confident that prices are going to calm down by next year. You know, this could be a multi-year situation that we're in, and I just think we need to have some backup plans.
What we're talking about now, approving the aluminum, is this a priority? Is this in the top 10?
So if we don't need it open by fall, then we know where to put the incoming grades. Right.
And we've approved the project already, right?
For 900.
For 900. So this is in addition? This is in addition.
Well, we're thinking we're going to land $300,000 over the original budget.
So we have to get it done by
middle of July. I got to get the teachers in there so they can set their classrooms up to start teaching.
I don't know how to do it, but I think we should approve this. I'm not sure if we have to make a motion that does something else, or but what little I know about construction. You know, I can see what Mark's saying, and supply is top.
Mm-hmm. This is a priority project. We've already gone down the road.
Yeah.
We need to make the decision tonight to proceed with the project.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. If you're getting hard bids on other projects, you may want to delay them, but ones that have already gotten in the mill, we may need to move on. And I'll move we accept RE Johnson's bid for $141,000.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Can make a motion with a condition if you like, but all right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
But we will be expecting, of course, those two things from you too.
That's a great idea.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman, if I could make one comment. We were notified by the federal government last week that there will be a fourth tranche of CARES funding. The application period opens this week. We just don't know much about it.
And one other thing that would be good to, you know, if we can get any kind of information or intelligence about the conditions around the CARES money for these projects, you know, like I said, what happens if, A, we don't meet a target, and B, the projects come in way higher than the money that they're giving us?
Well, they approved the funding at the level that we sought. We're waiting for these bids to come back in case we have to go back and get additional approvals. And then there's the new chunk of money that we're anticipating. We don't know what that will be just yet. So as soon as we know.
If you remember last month when we went through the CARES money funding, remember that we're sitting on a contingency amount, recognizing the environment that we're in. And that what that would do would force us, if we get these projects that would be funded through CARES that have an escalation in cost, to go into that contingency, go back to the feds and say, can we use this for this purpose? Because prices have gone up. So that's why you sat on the $3.5 million for that purpose. But yeah, I think that's a good idea. We certainly can bring back what all those projects are, what the priorities are, and then a little analysis of our fund balance and the other.
Okay, do we have any old business? Any new business?
I don't know if y'all heard yesterday or the day before, Superintendent Brennan asked me something not parent requesting them to become substitute teachers because there is such a wide shortage of teachers. I was curious if either our collegiate school is having the same issues or if there's something SDS could be doing to better help the teacher shortage as well.
Speaking to helping the teacher shortage, we have two baccalaureate degrees that we're in the process. Hopefully we'll take to the March or the May State Board of Education meeting to get the approval so we can go forward with offering those in the fall of next year so we can start creating more teachers. In terms of our collegiate school, I have not heard. Dr. Pritch, are we?
Not so far. The COVID challenges continue, but we've been able to manage that with the substitute school.
You don't need the parents to become.
Not currently. Not currently.
You have a master's for paying $150 a day.
No. All right. We'll just go around the room. Any other board comments?
I sat in on a exit meeting for the audit, for the state audit, financial and scholarship audit, and I have to say they were just speaking so highly of Julie and her team, and working with them, and they were ahead of time with their information, and just really, really kudos up to Julie and her team. Yeah.
Good team.
We need to be proud.
We are. Proud.
No finding, you know, just, yeah.
I just wanted to thank Cassandra and the foundation for bringing a student. I think it's always really, really good, and that's what we're all here for, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really good to hear from them directly, especially such a fine young man.
I just want to echo the comments about Julie and having a clean audit. Got it in the mail. I was happy to see that. It's always good to get a clean audit. Great job.
I, I guess I'll just sort of reiterate what I was saying earlier about the work that we're doing to help alleviate the workforce shortages in our community. I mean, I listen and read every single day about local businesses that just don't know how they're going to make it work. And I do truly believe that we're doing absolutely everything we can to accelerate job training and get qualified students into our local workforce. So let's just keep on keeping on.
That's all mine. I can come back to the workforce thing with sleep force and all, because I know that we're looking for those opportunities, and I would just encourage us to really continue to, because there's, I don't know what the future's bringing here, but certainly workforce shortages is part of it. And so, I mean, we're just so ideally situated to be able to move pretty quickly, because, I mean, you guys have been able to move pretty quickly on some of these, to make this happen, to be filling gaps and all. And so I was thankful for that, and I would just encourage us to continue that. And the only other thing really is that when there are page numbers in the agenda.
And not in the back.
Because of that 990.
Yeah. I would just ask the board to recognize that, like business, other businesses, we too are having problems filling positions. We have a number of positions that are in our coffee center and in our warehouse that we're having a difficult time filling at this point in time, so please bear with us. We're trying to get them filled as well as quickly as we can, but we're dealing with those issues.
Are offered that job at Duke or work?
I'm sorry?
Are those types of jobs that maybe students can be filling?
Yes and no. We do use students in those areas, but we need somebody who's sort of the regular oversight of those, particularly in our warehouse, where we bring in all of the assets to our institution. So we use students where we can, and we're just struggling to fill some of the more permanent need that we have. We'll keep on going, being creative about how we can get it done. Just as every employer in the area is.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I had asked Cassandra to point out in her staffing was how many of her staff are graduates of the State College of Florida. So we're acutely aware of the impact we have with employers in our area, and we are also a beneficiary of a grow-your-own kind of mentality, because they come back to us as well. We want them to be very well prepared.
March 8th is the referendum vote for Sarasota County, which will include funding for charter schools. Hopefully y'all will vote on March 8th. And then the surplus tax that will come in November will also include funding for charter schools. And I think if that's the one where it's the first time that that will be available for charter schools, it has not been in the past. I'm sure it's a small item on the budget.
But 25% of the revenue goes to the school system, so.
And so, yeah, one's for capital projects, one's for everyday items, like the extra half hour for the school system, the arts and sciences.
The March 8th one is for the operating.
Correct, yeah. Thank you. So just for March 8th.
Okay. Any other comments? Then this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.